Welcome to Modern Ancestral Mamas, a podcast for mamas created by mamas. We discuss ancestral food, cooking, feeding our families, and holistic living with the everyday modern mom.
We are Corey and Christine, two mamas on a mission to nourish our families holistically while keeping it real in today's crazy world. Follow us on this adventure and enjoy the stories and information we share.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Modern Ancestral Mamas. This is season 2, episode 5. And I am Christine from Nourish the Littles with my co-host Corey from For Nutrient's Sake. And we are continuing the Thanksgiving theme, and we're going to talk about leftovers today. Everyone's favorite subject.
For whatever reasons, Thanksgiving leftovers have like a particular love-hate relationship going on. okay.
Yeah, I feel like people either hate them or they love them or they're like sick of them by on day two.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that for a little bit into the show. So we always start our episodes with a question that kind of leads us off on the episode. And today's question is, in general, are you for or against leftovers? Christine, what do you think about leftovers?
That is a good question. So do you mean all leftovers or like specifically Thanksgiving leftovers?
All leftovers.
I love all leftovers, if I'm being honest, for multiple reasons. I think probably the first is oftentimes I feel like the food has more flavor the longer it sits and then the more you like reheat it. For some foods, not all foods, but for some foods, they end up having more flavor. And then I also like leftovers because they're super easy. I use them as lunches pretty much every single day of the week. We are reheating a leftover for lunch, and that's either going into a school lunch or I'm eating it for lunch. And leftovers force you to be creative. So yeah, I like leftovers. What about you, Corey?
Yeah, I'm team leftovers for sure. my family's not really, but I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure I actually liked leftovers when I was a kid, but I think now as an adult, I agree with you. A lot of things get deeper and richer in flavor, especially things like stews and chili and like pasta sauces and stuff like that when they've had enough time to kind of meld and develop. I definitely like that it makes meals easier. We also have leftovers almost every day for lunch. And I usually have a leftovers night on our meal schedule that, allows us to use up whatever's in the fridge. My mom used to do this thing where she'd pull out every single container of random leftovers in the fridge and she'd call it a smorgasbord meal. And it was just like, you get a little bit of this and you get a little bit of that. And you just, whatever it is, like none of it made sense together, but it's just like we have to eat what's in the fridge.
Totally. Sometimes I'll say like, okay, tonight we're eating out at Restaurant Muldoon. This is what's on the menu. Like, take your pick sort of thing. And it's all, you know, stuff they've seen before throughout the week. But you have to try and make it fun somehow. So I have a lot of family members that come from a Latin background where leftovers are not a thing.
Oh, really? Like, and culturally, they're not a thing?
Maybe it's just the specific family members and how they grew up. But okay. Yeah, they're like eating fresh meals every single day and would like not touch a leftover because it's how dare you reheat it? That's so disgusting kind of thing. And I think that's really comical. Just like, I mean, it's interesting the way some people grow up and you know, whether they like them or not, I don't know. But wait, but I wanted to add to that question, not to like drag this on forever, but did you eat a leftover today for lunch?
For lunch, yeah. We had chili, leftover chili for lunch today.
Nice. I don't know if this is bad or not, but last Tuesday I had made two chickens.
I mean, this is past the, like, what is it, 5 days that you're supposed to have leftovers or something?
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. So we're almost going on a full week. But so last Tuesday I had made two whole chickens and all of the veggies. Actually, it was incredible. I need to like post a picture on social media, but because they had all the juices from the bird and the fat, it formed a jelly in the fridge.
Yeah.
Like a jelly of vegetables capped with like butter. It was incredible. And I ran out of the chicken, obviously. And so I heated that up with rice and I had leftover steak from yesterday's meal. And it was literally a smorgasbord.
So it's like an aspic. Right? Isn't that what they're called? The like savory jellies?
Oh, wait, what'd you say?
An aspic? Isn't that right?
Oh, I've never heard that word before.
I'm pretty sure that's what it's called.
Oh.
So like if you go back and look in old vintage cookbooks and stuff, you know those like jello salads where they would put all sorts of weird stuff, you know, in jello in a mold?
Oh, you're right.
Did you look it up? Yeah. Aspic? Is that it?
Yeah, it's a... Yeah, A-S-P-I-C. It is a meat jelly in a savory gelatin made with meat stock or broth set in a mold to encase other ingredients. Oh my gosh, this is essentially what head cheese is. Or maybe a terrine.
Yes.
Oh, this is fascinating.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So this is totally digressing, right? But there are recipes for this in Julia Child's books. But there's also like tons of history that you can go in to read about these things. And I listened to a podcast once about the history of Jell-O, and it was talking about like this kind of thing. And then, like, what is it? Is it Franny Farmer? Fanny Farmer? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like the very first cookbook. Anyway, it's fascinating. And they like tried to recreate, there was, I think it was the America's Test Kitchen people tried to recreate like a meal from her cookbook, and they did like mock turtle soup, and they did all these aspics where they were like making aspics from hide, I guess. Like they were making it the old fashioned way of making it. Yeah, I don't remember exactly what they did, but it was fascinating.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah, it was so interesting. And they were doing it all on wood stoves because they were trying to be like as historically accurate as possible. It's so interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's.
This is cool. Yeah. I mean, I feel like we could deep dive into this topic, but we should probably not. So.
Yeah. No, I will geek out on food history, but we're talking about leftovers, specifically Thanksgiving leftovers today, and I think the very most obvious thing to talk about first is turkey bone broth.
Yes. It's seriously, I know, I got so excited. It's seriously one of my favorite broths. I don't know why, but it's so delicious. I just absolutely love it. And yeah, guys, save your bones, save your carcass, save your bones. If you don't have the guts, to eat the innards or to turn it into a gravy or to add it to your meal, save that as well. You can add that to your broth. I'm trying to think what else about
it. Do you add herbs to it? Do you add more like rosemary, sage, that stuff?
Yeah. Lately I've gotten so lazy with my broth and it's literally just water and bones. I don't add anything to it, but because turkey is so beautiful and just, I mean, all of the preparation that goes into making it, I'm going to be more conscientious about making sure to add really good herbs in it to give it more flavor and yeah, all of that good stuff. What about you? And actually we have we're going to have two turkeys this year. So I'm going to have two carcasses. Ooh. So I'm hoping, well, first of all, I hope I have a pot big enough for that. But
Oh, you're going to make them both at the same time?
I think so. Yeah, that's what I would do personally, I think. And then I would just do it twice. I would run it through twice.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't normally run chicken through twice because it deteriorates or it like crumbles so quickly. But I'm going to do turkey
twice. Do you know what? I've been doing chicken twice recently because I went to Sally's talk at the conference on broth. And she said she always runs chicken and everything other than fish twice. And that she uses, she's very specific about what she uses them for. You know, like the first broth she uses for, I don't even remember because I have the green light now to use them twice and it feels more economical and less wasteful to use them twice. So, but she's like, you know, use the certain one for soups and the other one for your gravies and sauces and things. And she's always making pan sauces and I don't care to make pan sauces all that often. So,
I usually use my second batch for grains. So like I'll cook rice in it or oatmeal or I don't know, if I'm cooking beans or something. I don't know. If I'm cooking any grains, I'll usually use the second batch for the grains. And this first batch is, I think, the most flavorful. And so that one's the one that I want to use for drinking or for soups or stuff like that.
I oftentimes, I know this is not what we're talking about, but a lot of times if it's beef or sometimes even pork, I'll do it three times. And mostly just because I feel like until they're soft.
You can like pinch them with your fingers. Yeah.
And I really mostly feel like I have to do that. Like that's like, I don't know, it's back to my, I don't like wasting anything. And I feel like if I'm using it more than one time, then it's less wasteful.
Okay, so I have a question for you. What do you do with your bones? Once you're completely finished with the broths, what do you do with those leftover, like, crumbly bones?
I trash them. Okay. I don't know what else to do. We don't have animals that can eat them. I'm not sure you can. Yeah. Can you feed them to animals? Because you're not supposed to give cooked bones to animals, but they're so soft. No.
You're not supposed to feed them to dogs. That I know from firsthand experience, like trying it multiple times. Every dog I've ever done it to, it causes them to throw up. And then I read later that the dogs actually can't handle the cooked properties of the bones. I don't know if that's the same thing for cats. And like,
I don't know. Pigs. Like if we had pigs, maybe they could handle it.
Yeah, I wonder. And the thing, I mean, if I didn't have dogs, I would bury them in the backyard. But because I have dogs, if I bury them in the backyard, they're going to dig them up. So I'm just like, I don't know. And they're not even supposed to go in compost, you know, like it's just like, I don't know what to do. So I put them in the trash and I feel so bad about it.
Every time. Every time I put them in the trash, I'm like, I'm sorry.
I know. Seriously. To do the exact same thing. And then Juan tells me, well, at least there's something compostable in your trash. Like, it's not like that part of the trash.
Yeah, but then it's in a plastic bag.
Right. No, totally. I know. I'm like,
I've been reading about keeping rats out of your compost because I'm really concerned about all of the animals that could come digging through our compost out here. I haven't seen rats, but we certainly have other critters. And one of the things is like, just don't put any, like not even eggshells, or any of that in your compost. I'm like, dang it. That's like the whole point of having compost is that I'm not throwing anything away. But I did read about a homesteader who, buries their bones in their compost pile. So it's like deep in their compost pile and then they just, you know, kind of deal with it. Also, I listened to Will Harris's Joe Rogan episode, and I know you listen to this too, but he talked about how they have like zero waste and they use all their bones. Oh. I guess, I don't know what they do, but they're using them on their fields, which is really good for your soil production. Oh, wow. So there's got to be a way. Somebody please send us a message and tell us what we should be doing with these bones after we're making bone broth. Please.
Yeah, that's actually a really, yes. Someone please, if someone here knows, send us a message. We would love to know.
Okay, so aside from making turkey soup, which is next on our list to talk about, what do you do with turkey broth? Just sipping?
Yeah, I think it's delicious for sipping. You could make a turkey pot pie, and you obviously need broth for a pot pie, so that could be one option. You can use it to make, with all of your leftover mashed potatoes, you can make a potato soup with the turkey broth and your mashed potatoes. I don't know if I'm getting ahead of myself here.
Okay, that's okay.
Trying to think what else you can do with your turkey broth. I mean, I would just drink it. It's so good. It's just like, yeah, it's mild, but also has, I think, more flavor than chicken.
Yeah. I agree. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
And my mom just found turkey necks on sale at the grocery store. They're like organic turkey necks. And they were like $4 a pack or something. And she just bought all of them and put them in my freezer. And so I've had more turkey broth, and I have all these other turkeys that I got on sale too. So I'm just going to be turkey broth forever. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Side note, I was walking into the store and I saw that, I could be wrong, store-bought turkeys are like $1 a pound.
$1 a pound.
Like almost $2 a pound, which to me is so cheap compared to what we're paying.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh my gosh. Wow.
So I got...
That's really...
I don't know if I've said this on the show. I know I said it on Instagram, but that I got all these turkeys on sale. They're like $11 or $12 a turkey. So I've just got all those, and that's what we're going to eat this year. So
that's amazing.
I know.
One farmer of mine has leftover turkeys from 2020.
Yeah.
For $3 a pound. And
did you get that?
I actually do want to buy. No, I haven't pulled. I mean, I told her I was interested, but I haven't actually like followed through with it yet. But yeah, I think I'm going to get maybe like 2 or 3.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just because, like, why not? It's another, you know, I don't know.
I would definitely do that.
So that's another idea, guys. If you see any cheap turkeys, go for it. Because once you learn how to roast a turkey, it's easy. You can do it any night of the week or any weekend.
Yeah, maybe it takes a little bit extra time, but because it's a bigger bird than a chicken. But there's so much more meat on it too. Like it could last for so long. I made one. I don't remember. I told Ryan I should have like calculated how many meals we got out of this one turkey that I made a couple weeks ago. I mean, like I froze it. I froze a bunch of cooked meat, and then we've just been using it like shredded chicken. So actually maybe we can just talk about that now because that was on my list of things to talk about. Okay. So basically the deal with turkey is after you've roasted it, you know, the day of Thanksgiving, here's what I would do. I would cut up at least like, depends, I guess it depends on how much you have left, right? But I would use some of the breast meat I would save for sandwiches for the next day. And then I would basically just shred all the rest of the meat, you know, pick it off the bones. And portion it out. Go ahead.
Sit around, watch football, put the turkey on the table, and just start picking the meat off.
And then I would put it, I would divide it into, you know, like a pound or a portion that your family is going to eat in a meal. and freeze that in those portions. So then all you have to do in the future is just take out like a bag of already cooked and shredded turkey, and you're just going to, you can make anything that you would, basically anything that you would use shredded cooked chicken for, you can use the turkey for. So you can make soup, you can make, you know, turkey and dumplings, you can make pot pies, you can make any of those like Tex-Mex type things like enchiladas and burritos and tacos and blah, blah, blah. You can make a sort of carnitas, you know, where you, which is pork, obviously, but the idea is that you would just cook it in a skillet with like fat so that it gets like kind of crunchy and crispy. Really like anything that you would do with a chicken. Let's see, barbecue, you could make barbecue with it.
Ooh, I just thought of this. I would have to do a little bit of research on what fat you would need, but I'm wondering if you could make turkey rillettes. Do you remember what a rillette
that,
is?
Isn't that, can you do that with already cooked meat?
That's a great question.
I've never made it.
Yeah, so you can use duck fat for turkey rillettes. I think that you could do it with already cooked meat. But I could be wrong.
I don't know. We should find out.
That sounds so amazing. Oh my gosh. I think I'm going to do that. I would need duck fat. But anyway, yeah, if you put it in like a tiny little jar, maybe like an individual size portion jar, that could be a really easy to-go meal.
Yeah.
A turkey rillette if you have enough leftovers. Okay, keep going.
Okay.
Keep going on
I've
your list.
I've got just a couple more things. Curry. You can make curry with it. And, so turkey tetrazzini is this thing. And I don't know if you ever had it when you were a kid, but it's a very, like, 80s, 90s meal. But I made it the other night for my family, and everybody was, like, blown. They loved it. So it's,
wait, what is a tetrazzini?
I don't know. I don't know if this is like actually what a tetrazzini is, but what this is like it's pasta. So you could use, you know, a sourdough pasta or a einkorn or, you know, whatever pasta your family likes. I mean, I think you could probably still even do it with, spaghetti squash, but so you, and then there's a sort of cream sauce with Parmesan, and I used bone broth in that. And then you add in the turkey and whatever vegetables you want, and then you put breadcrumbs on it and you bake it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm like pulling it up right now, and it looks like it's like a pasta casserole.
Yeah, it basically is.
So it's, yeah, and it says that it's often prepared with mushrooms,
mm-hmm,
and chicken or other protein, and it's a cream-based,
yep,
sauce. Oh, man, that sounds really delicious.
It's so good. And my family was, like, gaga over it. And I was like, I had no idea you guys would be so excited about this meal.
It sounds so easy, too.
Yeah.
Like, just a one-pot meal. I mean, that's what casserole
is. Well, it's true. You have to cook the pasta separately, but yes, almost a one pot meal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like if you have the turkey in the freezer, you just, you know, that then it's already portioned out and everything, then it's so easy to just throw these things together.
I love that idea of portioning it out. I've never thought of that, and I've never done that. That's brilliant.
Yeah, I try and do that with
just
like anytime that I make up a big batch of something. Like sometimes I'll just make a huge thing of ground beef and just have, you know, here's all of our portions of ground beef in the freezer. And then anytime I want to make tacos or something, it's already cooked. All you have to do is add the spices.
Yeah, that's really smart.
The other one I wanted to ask you about, how do you make your turkey pot pie?
I just roughly follow a chicken pot pie recipe. Do you mean like Do you mean like with like what vegetables do I use, or
yeah, or like you make, do you make a new gravy for it, or
yeah, I'm pretty sure I make a new gravy for it. Yeah. A separate gravy. And then there's, if you want a gluten-free version, I follow Danielle Walker's. She has like a chicken pot pie recipe, and I'll just follow her gluten-free version. Or I'll just use whatever butter for all sourdough crust and just top it on top.
Yeah.
I've also in the past, which I haven't done it in a while, and I don't remember what recipe I used, but I also did one with biscuits. So where it was like the pot pie was maybe in a cast iron dish, and then you just like dropped biscuits on top, the batter. And then it baked in the oven like that. That was really good too. But I don't remember where I found that recipe.
Dang it. Farmhouse on Boone has one like that for chicken, but you just swap it out. Okay. So I always do with turkey, and I never do this when I make regular chicken pot pie, but with turkey, since there's leftover gravy and leftover mashed potatoes, I usually whisk together the mashed potatoes and the turkey, and the gravy, and maybe add some more bone broth if it's not thin enough. And that's what I put the other stuff into. And, so instead of making like a whole new gravy,
dang girl,
well, it's to use up all the things.
no, I know, that's wow. That sounds delicious.
And then, you know, the sourdough pie crust or whatever. And listen, I swear to goodness, I might just say this on every single episode, but like make a bunch of pie crust. Like especially if you're making them from scratch and you're making the sourdough versions, because they take a long time. Make more than you need to make your pies for Thanksgiving. And then it's easier that way. And then you have your pie crust ready for the next, you know, for the pot pies. It's just please just do this.
Or you can be like me and just make one at a time, because even though Corey has been hammering me about this, I'm still going to just have like one or two pie crusts. But this was really bad timing on my part, because I think I might have mentioned this previously, but my sourdough starter died, like really died. It was not good. And I was waiting for my kamut flour to get in. I just ordered my first bag of kamut flour and it came in today. And I'm rehydrating Courtney's starter from the conference, Courtney Queen from Butter for All, but it's not going to be ready in time for Thanksgiving, obviously, because you need like 2 weeks to rehydrate a sourdough starter.
With so I'm going to have to still use people, my mom. Oh, you have your mom has one.
Yeah. My mom has one.
I was going to say,
and she keeps that baby very active.
If anybody's out there and doesn't have a sourdough starter, like, hook up with your local Weston A. Price chapter leader, and if they don't have one, I'm sure they could find you somebody who does. Side note. Okay.
Wait, I feel bad because a few people asked me for my starter and I gave it to them, and now I feel bad because it was a bad starter apparently.
Oh, when you gave it to them, was it bad?
I mean, it was fine, so I thought. I don't know. If you're out there and listening, I'm apologizing on air.
Oh, I always feel a little funny giving people some things, because I'm always like, this has worked for me. I hope it's okay for you too. We're giving you things with best intentions, people. Okay, so in the vein of freezing things for future use, here's the problem with Thanksgiving leftovers, I think. We have this big day where we eat all of these things, right? And then by the next day, you're like, I'm kind of done. And if not by the next day, definitely by the third day, so by Saturday, right? You're like, yeah, I'm super done with this flavor profile. And the problem is that a lot of times, like if you look up recipes online for Thanksgiving leftovers, you're going to get throw it all into a pie crust, like we just talked about with her. And then that's it. Like bake it all up and so you basically have all the same flavors, just, you know, repackaged essentially. So it's not giving you a break from the flavors. So what I heard this on Bobby Flay's podcast, and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Think of each dish as a separate dish, which obviously it is. But when you think of leftovers, you think, oh, I have all these leftovers that I have to somehow combine into something new. And you're never going to get to something new because it's all the same thing. So think of it in terms of like, okay, I have Brussels sprouts. What can I use Brussels sprouts for? Not what can I use Brussels sprouts and mashed potatoes and cranberries, like just the Brussels sprouts. Or, you know, what can I use the leftover sweet potato casserole for? But just that, you know, don't try and add the other things to it.
That's a really good idea.
And it, with that idea too, you can also just freeze. A lot of those things are going to freeze really well. So if you don't want to have to deal with it right now, put it in a bag in the freezer and deal with it in a month or two when those flavors are not gross anymore. Or you're not sick of them. It's not that they're gross. You're just sick of them. Okay.
Yeah, make it a later right. problem, not a now problem.
Push it down the line.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so let's talk a little bit about what we can use different things for in that idea, okay? So, cranberry sauce. Do you ever have leftover cranberry sauce? I feel like there's always a ton of leftover cranberry sauce.
Maybe. I don't know. It's not one of those, even though it's delicious, it's not one of those leftovers that like really stands out in my mind as having an absurd amount. Whereas like obviously turkey, there's an absurd amount. Stuffing, mashed potatoes, like those are the ones where it's always like, oh my gosh, I can't eat mashed potatoes for the 10th day in a row. But cranberry sauce is not up there on my radar. So I don't really know. Yeah. But man, you've got some really bomb ideas on here. You should start sharing them. Okay.
So cranberry sauce is awesome in a smoothie. So like kefir.
I can't wait to do that. That sounds so good.
It's so good. I think I just do like kefir and ice and cranberry sauce. And I don't know, maybe could throw in, I mean, you could throw in, you know, obviously like egg yolks and whatever, but I'm pretty sure flavor wise, that's all I do. And then, okay. So other ideas for cranberry sauce, add it to a cheese board, like on top of brie or like make a baked brie with it, or on top of just cream cheese. And this is something I've done. I did for a long time when I was making kombucha. I would freeze cranberry sauce in ice cubes, and then I would just add it to flavor the kombucha. So like the second ferment of the kombucha. So then you get like a spiced cranberry flavored kombucha. You can use it as oatmeal toppings or on toast. Like think of it kind of like a jelly, you know? You could make a pie with it. I've made apple and cranberry pie before. That's super delicious. And let's see. I think that was it for cranberry sauce. Oh, you could also make like cranberry orange muffins, but with cranberry sauce.
That sounds good.
Okay. What else do we have to talk about? Oh, okay. Pumpkin pie, sweet potato casserole, butternut squash, those types of things. Do you ever What do you do with that stuff? Just eat it until it's gone?
No, actually, oftentimes I turn them into creams, like a soup.
Oh, okay.
So I'll just take the butternut squash or the sweet potato or whatever it is, blend it up with some broth and some cream, and then you have like a cream of sweet potato or a cream of butternut squash. I think that we actually never do mac and cheese at Thanksgiving.
We don't either, really. But some people do.
So I like the fritter idea, though. That's not bad. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I'm wondering if you could do like a frittata of some sort, maybe adding these in. Or even if you're making, this would be separate, but if you make rice, you could just make rice and add in all of these leftover veggies into the rice. And that would include like the green beans or the Brussels sprouts. Yeah. So it would kind of be like a fried rice, but with veggies.
Yeah.
You can top an egg on it, or you can add turkey to it if you're not sick of turkey. Yeah, those are my ideas for all of those like leftover veggies. I got so excited when I just saw for stuffing, you put savory bread pudding. Holy smokes, that sounds like so good.
So like you could do a frittata type thing, but with the stuffing, and
yeah,
you know, add all your other vegetables and stuff too.
Yeah.
The only slight problem with the stuffing is that it's probably already soaked up a lot of liquid and it may not soak up much more.
Yeah, this is a time to experiment in the kitchen and see what works. So,
the other idea with stuffing, I have a couple ideas with stuffing. One that I've done though is taken it and kind of dehydrated it. I think I did it in the oven and then made breadcrumbs with it. So then it's like really flavorful breadcrumbs for, you know.
Wait, but stuffing also has like sausage in it.
Are you picking out
the breadcrumbs? Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, that'd probably be weird. But yeah, let's go back to the fritters. Okay, so fritters can be made with stuffing, mashed potatoes, vegetables, macaroni and cheese, like so many different things. And fritters are super easy where you're just, I mean, as long as they've got some sort of binder, so you may have to add an egg or something, and maybe breadcrumbs. And then you just, you know, make them into like a pancake shape and skillet fry them in, I don't know, lard or ghee or whatever.
Yeah.
And then done. I love fritters.
Yeah, that's such a good idea. You can add a little bit of sour cream on top, yes, maybe, depending on which type of fritter you're making.
Okay. Other ideas. Oh, okay. So if you've got leftover of those, like, of that, like, sweet squash sort of dish, you know, like a mashed sweet potato casserole or the butternut squash or even just the pumpkin pie, if you scrape out the inside of the pumpkin pie, not the crust, you can use that for making like muffins or even another smoothie. You could make a smoothie with that.
You have on here pancakes and waffles, yes, which is, that's such a good idea. So just add the, if the sweet potato or the butternut squash or whatever squashes you have are in chunks, just puree it. So make that into a puree and you can add that puree, that batter to the pancake batter. And then you've got seasonal, you know, sweet potato pancakes or waffles.
Yeah, or biscuits or bread.
I used to do, I have made sweet potato pancakes in the past for my kids when they were younger as just like a, I don't know, for babies kind of thing. So that's a really good idea.
I usually add if I do make mac and cheese, which I don't usually for Thanksgiving, but if I'm making mac and cheese for my family, you know, another time, I usually add a butternut squash puree to that, to the cheese sauce.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And honestly, here's my total cheater hack on that. I buy the squash puree from Serenity Kids. And just use that so I don't have to make it.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. That is cheating. I mean, not cheating.
Let me give you my cheater hack on that too. Yeah. I buy those on Amazon Subscribe and Save. None of my babies eat them. Or, I mean, I don't even have like babies anymore. But I buy those and I add it to like soups all the time, or stews, or anything, just to like it gives it more viscosity in the soup, and you know, adds another vegetable or two. And yeah, that's my hack. Don't anybody tell anybody else in my family. That's not true. I don't lie to my family about what I'm making, people. All right. I feel like
talk about the mashed potato bowl.
Oh. Okay, so mashed potato bowls are super simple. Do you remember when, and I don't know if they still have this or not, but KFC used to have these mashed potato bowls that they would, it was like mashed potatoes on the bottom, and then it was their fried chicken, like chunks of fried chicken, and then I think there was like corn and green beans and gravy and cheese. Okay, so
was this only at Thanksgiving?
No, this is something I actually don't think they had. Like, I don't know if they still have it.
Oh wow!
Lord knows, last time I've been to KFC, but they had it the whole year round.
Okay. KFC was never really my jam, so
no.
I was a Long John Silver's girl.
Oh my gosh, they don't have those in Maryland anymore. We moved down to Georgia, and there is one with like a drive-thru down here. I've never seen that before.
Yep.
Okay.
There was one literally like, I don't know, half a mile from where I lived growing up.
Yeah.
It's horrendous. It's so bad. Don't recommend it.
I'd eaten there like one time as a kid, but they all went out of business in Maryland. They didn't make it.
Well, yeah, I should hope not. There's like fresh seafood everywhere in Maryland. Why do you need fried seafood?
That's actually a good point. Long time yeah, but I'm in coastal Georgia now, and they have them here, so.
I'm not surprised. It's the South.
There's no explanation. yeah.
Wait. Okay. So mashed potato bowl. A side note again, but I went to a wedding once that had a mashed potato bar. Is this kind of the same idea, where it's like, basically you have your bowl of mashed potato, and then you have hundreds of toppings. I mean, not hundreds, but you know, like a whole host of toppings to just put on top of it.
That's amazing.
Okay.
Man, I feel like I missed out with my wedding.
You can make that as an anniversary dinner for Ryan. Yeah.
He don't care. He doesn't care about mashed potatoes. I mean, he likes mashed potatoes, but like, wouldn't be as excited. I'm the one that gets excited about food. So, okay. So yeah, mashed potato bowl is basically like, you know, just you mashed potatoes is the base, and then you can put literally whatever you want on there. So you could use the other leftover things from Thanksgiving, but then you're basically, again, getting the Thanksgiving flavors. Or you could do something else. You could do meatballs. You could do, I don't know, like pulled pork, you know, whatever. Again, mashed potatoes.
Shredded crispy turkey.
Yes. I mean, really, like, if you threw different sauces on there.
Different like
what? Sauces. Spices.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to reiterate that if you have not tried shredding up either chicken or turkey and, like, refrying it in either lard or ghee or whatever, you
pork, I mean, too.
It, you haven't lived. Yeah, it's so good. That recooking that turns it like crispy. That's just,
it's so good.
Takes it to a whole new level.
Yeah, I feel like that's might we might have covered it. I do want to say, and I feel like this is going to be my mantra for like the rest of my everyday life. If anybody follows me on Instagram, this is all you're going to hear about forever. okay. So it took me a while to realize this, but I've like taken it to heart that I really believe that pretty much anything can be made in a real food nourishing way. Okay. Like I joked on my Instagram that, maybe not flaming hot Cheetos, but I swear to you, I really think that somebody with some brains and the desire to do it could come up with a way to make flaming hot Cheetos in a nourishing way. It's not going to be me because those things are nasty, but somebody could figure it out. I mean, we made Doritos the other day because my kids wanted Doritos and I was like, we're going to figure out how to make Doritos. So I'm just telling you, I think you can do it.
Wow. You'll have to share that at another episode.
Oh, well, it's the Food Babe cookbook has a Dorito spice recipe in it and you just make chips in the oven and add that. It also is really good on popcorn. Okay. So like, anything, like if you grew up eating something after Thanksgiving, you know, with the Thanksgiving leftovers, think about what was so good about that meal that, you know, you have some heart connection to or something, and figure out how to make it in a way that matches your food values. That's it. That's the thing I want to put out into the world, guys.
No, I mean, I think it's really important just because we get so caught up in demonizing foods and sometimes we forget about the connection that's involved in them. And so when it comes to these Thanksgiving meals, it's, yeah, the food is really important, but it's actually more about the people that you're eating it with and that you're sitting down and having cultivating those relationships with. And I think the same thing happens with like any meals that we make at home on a regular basis. And if our kids or family members are asking for specific foods, instead of saying, no, we can't make that because it's unhealthy or I don't know, whatever negative connotation or negative label we're going to add to that food, just reframing it as, okay, well, let's figure out a way that we can make this with better ingredients. And then you're saying yes. And you are enhancing your relationship with the person who's asking for it. And that's what food is about. It's about relationships, I think.
Yep.
I don't know.
No, I 100% agree with that. Yes.
And with that, guys, I mean, I'm all leftovered out. I don't know what more leftovers we can think of. But thinks of a leftover.
You're like Sunday after Thanksgiving out on mashed potatoes.
Yeah. If you guys think of a brilliant way to repurpose a Thanksgiving leftover, leave a comment. Just like take the 2 seconds to type it into the iTunes review and say, hey, this is how I made this Thanksgiving leftover. Because other people read it and gives them ideas and it gives us ideas. And we love comments and reviews.
Do you know what? Okay, you just reminded me. After our last episode, not our last episode, but the Thanksgiving episode that we did, and we talked about the genealogy, somebody actually sent me a message and I forgot to forward it to you. I'm not going to be able to find it because it was so far back in my messages, but she was saying that she actually did trace her heritage back to that, like, maybe not exactly the first Thanksgiving, but yes, Like, I was like, whoa, wait, that's so cool.
Wait, if you search on IG, could you search like Mayflower? Do you think she used the word Mayflower, maybe? Or Thanksgiving? Like, if you just search the word. I'm so intrigued now.
It's going to take me forever to find it, though. No, see, it's not letting me. Can you search your messages, or does it just search your Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to find it. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Whoever sent this to me, I was super excited about it. And now I've lost it because it's, you know. Wait a minute. Is this it? No. Shoot. Sorry, guys. Okay. This is now going to be really boring because I'm just trying to search through my Instagram. Really exciting for everybody listening.
No, let's wrap it up.
Okay. Well, everybody, thank you for listening. I hope you have had a wonderful Thanksgiving and it has been nourishing to your body, to your soul, to your friendships, to your family. And I hope that going into this holiday season is really a wonderful experience for you.
Aw, I ditto wish.
All right, friends. See you later.
Yep, until then, the next episode, which will actually be the last episode of 2022.
Yeah. Okay, so happy holidays. Bye.
Happy holidays. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Modern Ancestral Mamas. Check out the show notes for the resources. You can find Christine on Instagram at NourishTheLittles and online at NourishTheLittles.com. You can find Corey on Instagram at ForNutrientsSake and online at ForNutrientsSake.com. Follow us on Instagram at Modern Ancestral Mamas.
The information contained in this show is for informational purposes only. It should not be intended as medical advice and should not replace your relationship with your healthcare practitioner.